Welcome to day 152. We are up to Perek Hey, Mishnah Test. This is the very last Mishnah of the fifth Perek of Masech Shvis, and then we'll start the sixth Perek together. And this last Mishnah continues on the theme of the last 2 days, which is lending and selling tools to an Am Haaretz, someone who is not well-versed in the Halachos of Shvis, selling them tools during Shvis. The Halacha is that we don't do that because of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Mechshol. We do not want to enable someone to do an Avera, so we don't sell something that is exclusively used for something that is prohibited during Shvis. We don't sell it to someone who will likely not keep the Halachos of Shvis. But we are allowed to, if we saw this guiding principle, if the thing that we're selling or lending is something that can also be used for permitted work. It's maybe even usually worked for prohibited work, but as long as it can be used for permitted work, then that's okay. So on that theme, says Mishnah Test, Mash'eles Isha l'chaverta chashuda al shvis, a woman is allowed to lend to her friend who is chashuda al shvis, so a suspect of not keeping shvis properly. Again, someone who is not well-versed and wouldn't keep shemitah. So a woman is allowed to lend to her friend enough of a chavra, a sifter, or a sieve. That is a very common pairing, enough of a chavra, when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos. A sifter is something that sifts through different levels of coarseness of flour, and a chavra, sifts, chavra is a sieve. It gets rid of impurities, separates the chaff from the types of grain. Rechaim is it grinds things at a tanner or an oven, all different things that are used for produce, specifically during the seventh year. So you're allowed to lend that. But you shouldn't actually do the sifting. You shouldn't do the grinding together with her. So what's going on? So we're talking specifically after the time of biur. So biur, again, we said, is that if there's a type of grain and it's no longer in the field, the season for that's over. So if you have that sort of grain in your house, that sort of produce, you have to remove it from your house and you have to do biur, which is, we'll assume that it's making it hefker. So if someone who is chashuda al shvis, she doesn't generally keep the halachas of shvis, so we assume that any grain or produce that she has in her house after the time of biur, we have to assume she didn't do biur properly. So it's a major problem to then work with that grain afterwards because she didn't keep the halachos. And yet, our Mishnah says, still, you're allowed to lend her those tools. Why? Because even though it's generally used for food that she has in the house, and that would be a problem in this case, still it can be used for other things. It's something as simple as perhaps you can store money in a sieve and things like that. So because there's a possibility that it could be used, we're lenient, even though it's not common. But you shouldn't do the work with her, because if you're doing it with her, then she's clearly doing it for the food and the grain, right? Then she's not using it for money. Then she's not using it for some alternate purpose. She's using it for usher grain. So that would not be allowed. You're allowed to lend it to her for the slight chance that she uses it for something permitted, but you're not allowed to actually do the usher work with her. Now, Eishes Chaver. Now we're going to slightly shift from Shemitah to other areas of Halacha. And Eishes Chaver, the wife of a Chaver, we said a Chaver is someone who's, we saw this in Maseches Damai, is trustworthy when it comes to tithes and tumah, impurity. So the wife of a Chaver, Mash'alas, the Eishes Amaretz, is allowed to lend to someone, to the wife of someone who's an Amaretz, who is not well versed in any of those halachas of tithing and of tumah. What are they allowed to lend? Naf of a Chaver, the same thing as Sifter and Sieve. We're talking about not during the year of Shvi'is now. Let's say they would use the Sifter and Sieve on produce that could be untithed. So we generally We wouldn't enable them to do that work with untithed produce, but yet we're allowed to lend it. And not only that, you're allowed to separate it and grind it and actually do the sifting with her. You're actually allowed to do the work. Once the water hits the flour, you should not actually knead it. You shouldn't touch it with her. Because at that point, it would be a strength and it would be helping someone who's doing an avera do an avera. Why? Once water hits flour, then the chi of the obligation for challah to separate a portion of the challah, of the dough, sets in as soon as the water hits it. And then at that point, you're not allowed to make the dough tameh anymore. So if it's an Isha, if it's a wife of an Amaretz, so they're not careful about the halachas of tumah, and the chances are when she touches that dough, it will become tummy. So the moment the water comes in, she's not allowed to touch it, and therefore you're not allowed to help her. But when it comes to the tithes, you're actually allowed to give them a sifter and sieve, and you're allowed to help them, even though there's a good chance that they're doing it improperly because the produce is untithed. We said earlier that when it comes to Am Haaretz, most Am Haaretz do keep the halachos properly. But because there's a significant minority that doesn't, we make these halachos. But in this case, we seem not to worry about that this is going to be the significant minority. We seem to, as long as, even though they're an Am Haaretz, and even though there's a chance that they won't be doing it properly, we seem to be okay with the fact that most people do it properly, and therefore you're even allowed to help her sift, and you're allowed to help her sieve, not to help her grind. So why is that? Says the Mishnah, V'chulan lo amru el v'nei darkei shalom. Because we said all of these things only because of darkei shalom, because we want to increase peace. It's your neighbor. So you're someone who's a chaver, and your neighbor's an amaretz, and you're going to create this animosity because you won't lend, because there's a chance that they're not doing the halacha properly. So says the Mishnah, because of darkei shalom, because we want to increase love between neighbors, we're allowed to help. We're allowed to lend, and we're allowed to help. What about the fact that we're generally worried about the significant minority that won't do it properly? They're an amaretz. Okay, we won't worry about that. We'll be vater on that thing, right? We'll say, okay, don't worry about it, even though that's true, because we want to increase peace, and the chances are they're still doing it properly, so you're allowed to help out in order to maintain those relationships. And once we said that, now we're going to conclude this parak with something we've seen earlier, because it's on the same topic. We've already seen these lines. I said it already. We're allowed to encourage non-Jews during Shavuos to say, hey, I hope you have a good yield this season. I hope, work your field well. You're allowed to cheer them on because non-Jews are not chayiv in Shavuos, so it's not a problem. If Allah Yidei Yisrael, but if Yisrael is working the field, you're not allowed to encourage them because that would be machzik day of the Avera, over Avera. You're not allowed to help or encourage people to do something wrong. And finally, v'sholom v'shlomam, and you're allowed to greet a non-Jew, specifically we saw during their holiday season, even though they'll likely say something like Baruch Hashem to their gods and end up praising their gods, and you're causing them to do avodah zarah because b'nei darkei shalom, because we want to increase peace. So even though it might lead them to do avodah zarah, still, we want to have good relationships with our neighbors. That is the end of Perek Hey. Now, Perek Vav, this Mishnah and the next Mishnah is going to talk about different areas in Eretz Yisrael and how that impacts Shavuos. The way that we look at Eretz Yisrael today, the modern map of Eretz Yisrael contains most of what is halach Eretz Yisrael, but it's not exactly clear. There are different parts of Eretz Yisrael that's considered halach Eretz Yisrael and not halach Eretz Yisrael, and different halachas are attached to them based on when parts of Eretz Yisrael were settled and conquered, etc., etc. So it says Mishnah. There are many ways to understand this Mishnah. We're going to do the simplest way. It says Mishnah Aleph. Shalosh aratzos l'shvius. Eretz Yisrael has three different areas when it comes to shvius. Kol shech ziku olei bavel. All of the people when we came back to Eretz Yisrael during the time of Ezra, right, during the time of the rebuilding of the second Beis Hamikdash. So anyone who came, all the lands that were conquered, that were inhabited in that second arrival, meaning during the time of Ezra, olei bavel. The Eretz Yisrael v'ad Kaziv, so that's all up until Kaziv. I'll show a map. Lo ne'achav lo neva. In that area, you are not allowed to ne'achav. You're not allowed to eat it after beer until you do beer. V'lo neva, and you're not allowed to work the land. Meaning full shvius for that area. V'choshech ziku ole Mitzrayim. But any part that was originally settled and conquered by ole Mitzrayim, meaning coming out of Mitzrayim during Yoshua's time, much earlier, right? That is mikziv v'ad nahar of Adamana. That is, it's not exactly clear which Nahar, maybe it's Euphrates until Amana, but Nikziv until the Nahar until Amana. Again, I'll show a map. The point is that anything that was conquered originally by Yoshua and those people, then Nechal, you're allowed to eat it after beer, Aval, lo Nevad, but you're not allowed to work the land. Technically, it's not Eretz Yisrael, so you're allowed to eat it, but we have the Darabanan that it's still technically a part of Eretz Yisrael in some ways, so you shouldn't work the land. So again, anything conquered by Ole Bavel, which is the people during the time of Ezra, any reconquered area from the original part, that has the full status of Eretz Yisrael. But if it was only conquered by Yoshua, but not reconquered later by Ole Bavel, then it does not have the full halachic status of Eretz Yisrael. Finally, minahar v'adamana v'lifnim, anything beyond that, again, minahar v'adamana, again, I'll show the map, anything beyond that, ne'achal v'ne'avar, that is totally not considered part of halacha Eretz Yisrael, and therefore you're allowed to eat it after beer, and you're allowed to work the land. Tomorrow, we will learn about Syria, something we've seen also, the land that David HaMelech conquered, what status that has. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow with Mishnah Beis.